lo and behold, my dad, probably about a half hour to an hour later, had a heart attack in our front yard.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the Color Tech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
A&M Pizza, authentic Italian food made with the finest quality ingredients, proudly serving the Lebanon and Lancaster area since 1980. Stop by their Campbelltown location today. You'll be happy you did. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. Are you in the mood for getting out of your house this evening? Head over to Boyer's Tavern in Rexmont, PA. They have appetizers, soups, salads, wings, mouth-watering burgers, sandwiches, and many other entrees to choose from. Proper food and drinks made by slightly improper folks. Head over to Boyer's Tavern today or give them a call at 717-450-4063. In this episode, we have Brandy Whitman, a licensed clinical social worker with a powerful story of resilience, redirection, and rediscovery. Brandy didn't set out to be a therapist. In fact, it was one of the last things she imagined, but life, as it often does, had other plans. She specializes in PTSD, suicidality, and self-harm, and is trained in EMDR therapy. Her journey has taken her from the front yard of a life-altering tragedy to the front lines of emotional healing. Brandy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, yes. I'm glad you were here as well. And before we got on air, we were talking about, like, how did you hear about the show? Because I always love to hear how people found out. So tell us.
Yeah. So Matthew Sana and Matt in the Hat had done an episode with you, and he had shared it on his Facebook. And Matt and I had gone to school together. We're pretty good friends. And he shared it. And ironically, I'd just gotten done saying, I should write an autobiography and tell my story. And then I was like, wait a second. This would be so much easier. Let me reach out. And that's what got me connected to you to be here today.
Yeah. You still write the autobiography, though. But
that's what a lot of work.
That is a lot of work. Yeah. Here, I'll do the work. You know, I'll do the work for you. This is the fun part. Wow, what a small world. So shout out to Matt in the Hat. He was on episode 89 of the American Grown Podcast, which is wild to think about. And for the listeners that might, the new listeners and might not have listened, go back, check out episode 89. Matt is an audio engineer and I believe an EMT.
Yes. Yeah. That's actually part of what developed our friendship, because I was training to be an EMT in the high school class. He was already certified and did the class and things. So he kind of came to help us who were learning to build our skills. And that's kind of how we came to be.
Such a small world. Yeah. So shout out to Matt. That's phenomenal. And again, thank you for being here and being willing to share your story. And how I look at, you know, what I'm doing here on the American Grown Podcast is, you know, if you can help one person or change someone's life or give them hope, you know, in times of struggle, it makes all the difference. So, you know, some people say, oh, well, you know, it's just a small podcast, or you're just here in Lebanon County, but it's like it has a pretty big reach now throughout the year. This is going on third year, and it's more so sharing the stories and then hearing things on social media, comments like, "Oh wow, I'm going through something similar," you know, or "I didn't know that this was even a thing." Like a lot of times, it's career paths, you know. I didn't know that could be a career. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Brandy, if you're all right, we'll jump right into it and get it going. So your story begins with a deeply personal and traumatic event. At age 17, you lost your father.
Yes.
Can you take us back to that day and share how it changed the course of your life?
Yeah. So that day actually really made the whole motto, "Everything happens for a reason," come into play. So actually, I was taking the EMT course that we were talking about at the Elko High School. And there was two instructors. So that way, one was on call. So if you were assigned that day and a call came during your class period, you would go with the paramedic to get real life experience about what we're learning in class, and the other would stay behind to continue to teach the content. So on my go along day, there were no calls, and it was a very warm October day. However, when I was walking home from the bus stop, my dad was mowing the lawn, as happens in Pennsylvania in October.
Yeah.
And I thought he looked a little like funky, but didn't think much of it because I'm 17, and I go about my life, and lo and behold, my dad, probably about a half hour to an hour later, had a heart attack in our front yard on my go-along day. So the first person on site was my paramedic from my class.
Yeah, your instructor.
Mr. Burkholder. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he came. And my brother had alerted me that people were outside with dad, who was laying on the ground. I saw what was happening, and I kind of just jumped in. And I had to call my mother to tell her to come home. And that was my go-along day, was my experience, was my dad's heart attack from my front yard to the Good Sam Hospital.
That moment, incredibly intense, I imagine.
Yes. Right?
A lot of emotion, a lot of thought, a lot going on, a lot to process. How did you process that as a teenager, 17 years old?
Oh, I didn't. Having played softball competitively, I very much learned how to harness adrenaline. And when I got to harness adrenaline, I just did what I knew to do. And in that case, it was sending my brother back inside the house because he did not need to see what was going to be happening. It was calling my mom. She arrived on the scene trying to get her under control enough. Understandably, she was like holding my father's hand as they're doing CPR. Mm-hmm. My instructor looks at me and he's like, "This is your job, control the scene." And he looks at my mom. And I knew that meant I had to get her to stop touching him so they could shock him with the defibrillator so she wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah.
He then said, "Are you coming with on the back of the ambulance?" I said, "Yes." I grabbed shoes because I was still barefoot. And I hopped in. I had been 1 week CPR certified, and he asked me if I wanted to do CPR, and I said no, because if this doesn't end well, I don't know how I live with that.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So
yes.
He had me pushing buttons to send the rhythms, I guess, to the hospital for our arrival. And then we got to the hospital. They started prepping him for surgery. I'm with him. I'm talking to the doctors. I'm with my mom. I'm making sure my brother has adults nearby to figure out what we're doing, because we don't know what the next hours, days, weeks, months are going to look like. And then we just waited for surgery to be done.
Okay. Now, did you say your brother was younger or older?
Yeah, he's 12 years, or 12. He was 12 at the time. He's 6 years younger than me. So, yes, he was old enough to be home alone for a couple of hours, but also given the state of things, I didn't know that he should be home, because I'm sure he's worried too. So, just coordinating care for that.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, just the like you said, the adrenaline. So, you're saying that your time as a softball player, which I think off air we were discussing. Mm-hmm. You played a lot of softball.
Oh, most definitely. My freshman year was my biggest softball year, and I definitely paid for it with shoulder injuries. But kind of between May until about August, it would be not unheard of for me to play 13 games a week between two different age groups, travel team, rec team, high school team, fall ball, you name it. And I was usually, depending on the team, either the catcher or the pitcher.
Okay.
So I was always touching the ball, doing a movement.
Yeah, you're always out.
Where my shoulder injuries have come from.
Okay. Yeah, not a lot of rest time, not a lot of downtime either, you know. Yeah. And you mentioned that, you know, through softball, you're able to control your adrenaline. In what ways or what manner did softball help you?
So in softball, I was able to anticipate all possible outcomes. Was the runner going to steal? What if we get a hit over into the right field? Where we play? What's the next play? Where do we go from there? What next pitch should my pitcher be throwing? Fastball, changeup, curve, you name it. And so kind of anticipating what outcomes could happen then played into with my dad's heart attack. Okay, like I know CPR needs to be done. I know we need to get to the hospital. I know he needs to have heart surgery. I know he's going to need to recover from that. My brother needs childcare. Who's available to do that? And so just being able to piece all these things and juggle these things with all the options that can come with them, that adrenaline allowed me to figure out what is the most effective and efficient.
And in that moment, you know, you told your instructor who was the first on the scene, No, I'm not. This is you. You know, you go with it. You were able to still help and do what you could, you know, on that trip to the hospital. So once you got to the hospital, it was Good Sam, I imagine.
It was Good Sam. They were the closest hospital. And let me tell you, being in Myerstown and going to Good Sam, it's not a long drive, but that was the longest drive of my life. It felt like hours. And it's, what, maybe 15 minutes at best? I would say
for the listeners that don't know, if you don't know the area, it's, probably about 15, maybe a little bit more, but not much more. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it felt like, I guess, an eternity.
Yes. You know? Yeah. Most definitely.
So when you get to the hospital, was it all a blur? Or, you know, you mentioned getting care for your younger brother, but what was that moment like?
It was really interesting because I had developed a good relationship with my instructor. So when my dad had gotten off of the ambulance and they started prepping him for surgery because the hospital was waiting for us, I had looked at my instructor who just shook his head no. And that was my indicator that he's not going to come back from this. So my mom, being who she is, obviously very upset, is asking me, like, what's going on? Is he going to be okay? We're talking to the doctors and the nurses. And I'm just like, what I learned in EMT is, well, we don't know. We're going to let the professionals handle it. Anything's possible. Very distinctly remember she grabbed me and she's like, you know something and you need to tell me.
Her intuition was kicking in. She's my daughter knows something going on.
And I was like, well, we don't think it's going to end well. And ultimately it didn't, but that, I will say, in my dad's true fashion, wasn't without a fight. He was in the ICU for a week in a medically induced coma at first, and we tried to bring him out. And again, such a small world, one of his main nurses was one of my classmates' mother. She knew me, and I was like, excuse me, like, this isn't right. I need the respiratory therapist here. There's fluid in his lungs, things I'd learned in EMT course. And she's like, I'm not disagreeing with you. So there were moments of having to fight with some other hospital staffs, but the nurses were fabulous. The EMTs were fabulous. And having the language and things I've learned in the EMT course actually allowed me to be really good at communicating with the medical staff in those moments in ways that I don't know that my mom could have or would have, just being overwhelmed with all the things going on at the time.
Yeah. And you mentioned like fight with the staff, you know, quotation marks, but I think no matter what, it's like advocating, right?
Absolutely.
You know, whether it's a young child, like, you know, I have two young ones and they're at daycare and, you know, things happen, but you have to advocate for them, whether it's a bite on the arm or whatever it may be, you know, things happen, but you have to be able to, like you just said, kind of fight for them because at the end of the day, whether they're in the hospital or they're too little to, you know, articulate what happened, you definitely have to be an advocate, I truly believe. And, before we get too much into it, you're... brother, your mom, what's their first names?
My mom is Sherry. My brother is Kyle.
Shout out to Sherry and Kyle. Your mom must be a very strong woman, but very bubbly personality like yourself.
Or
do you get that from your dad? No?
He's not really either.
Okay. Yeah.
They're very kind people, don't get me wrong, but they're very much kind of keep to themselves to some degree. My dad was a bit of a jokester, but he was not a talker by any means. My mom's not really a talker either. And her hobbies are kind of watching all of the judge shows. Judge Judy's a big one. Our mama's family.
That's great.
Playing games on her Kindle. So I'm a little bit of an outlier with my immediate family.
Yeah. And your dad's first name, I had mentioned you. Yes. This is all for you. Have a tattoo.
Yes. My dad's first name is Paul, and my tattoo is on my right arm. I took it from his driver's license. And the reason it's on my right arm is my dad was right-handed. My mom is left-handed. So when her eventual passing, hopefully not soon, comes into play, her signature will go on my left arm.
Very neat.
Yeah. And my brother, so my dad was a truck driver our entire lives, and the company he worked for is a smaller company where they could design their trucks and they would just put the company logo on it. And he had this beautiful blue design with yellow swirls on it, and it was called a peacock design. So my brother has a tattoo on his left arm of the truck, at sunset, I believe it is, pointing forward, like towards his hand. And the reason why is because my brother was a truck driver for a little bit, surprise, surprise. And the truck is always pointing where my brother's going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick sip break. This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer. So after, like, that moment, you know, advocating for your father, keep your mother calm and everything, the outcome was not, like you'd mentioned, what you had wanted, obviously. Yeah. How did that affect the family unit?
Very much so. So I was a senior, and this was in October, and I was graduating in May, going to college in August. And what makes it even crazier is the college I had wanted to go to was Lebanon Valley College. I had applied to them as well as to Alvernia College. My dad really wanted me to go to Alvernia, kind of like leave for a little bit, which I totally understand. I really wanted to go to Lebanon Valley, though. My intent was to go for physical therapy, and both of the schools kind of had different ways they did the program. So Lebanon Valley, you would apply to the college in general and then apply to their program specifically. And then with Alvernia, you applied with your major and you would be accepted or not. So I had gotten accepted to Alvernia, and I had been accepted to Lebanon Valley College, but not yet to their physical therapy program. Those determinations weren't made. So I ended up having to put a deposit down on Alvernia because I still hadn't heard from Lebanon Valley. And a week later, Lebanon Valley accepted me to their program.
Okay.
So I lost my deposit and I went to Lebanon Valley. And I did live on campus, which is not far from my family either. But I didn't have a car on campus, and I was leaving. So there was a lot of dynamics with my father passing away. I was leaving. My brother is growing and getting ready to go in middle school. We have a property, a house with these trucks. We had a coal stove to heat our house, which mom never could get started. So we had to like change that now that my dad was gone. So there was a lot of changes that had happened in a very short amount of time for my family.
So now when you're at LVC, you know, you aim to become a physical therapist.
Yes.
But that didn't go as planned. And I don't know what happened. Maybe you can tell us or not. But, you know, how do you pivot that?
Yeah. So at Elko, I had graduated in the top 10% of my class. So I was used to being in honors and AP courses. I was used to doing pretty well. The harder the course, sure, the lower the grade I would get, but nothing crazy. And then I went to LVC, and things had started really well there. However, kind of the second half of my junior year, I am notorious for not doing really good things with math. Like, I just really struggle when it comes to anything math. So chemistry and physics really got me. And I ended up failing those courses. I did retake them over the summer, hoping I can just focus on that course. And passed, but not with flying colors, more like with the skin of my teeth.
Just get by.
So ultimately, I dropped my GPA, and I was not able to continue on to the physical therapy part. So I was presented with kind of two options. Just keep retaking the courses until I pass them well enough to kind of re-enter the physical therapy program or change my major. And as a first generation college student, staying in college for who knows how long was not going to be on the table.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
I changed my major to a self-designed major, to American Studies with a concentration of intersectionality of identity, which in Lebanon County, nobody really knows what that means.
Yeah.
So I was like, great, I have a major. I graduated with my bachelor's and I'm not going to be hired because nobody knows what I can do with that.
Right, right.
So one of my professors, Teddy, she was wonderful. And she said, have you thought about social work? And I said, I don't really know what social workers do. I mean, I know they do like children and youth services, and there's one at the local nursing home I work at, but I don't know what she really does there. Let me look into it. So I did a month of research and decided I was enrolling in an online master's program while also working full time to do a job that I didn't know a whole lot about, other than I could do a lot of different things with it, which really enticed me.
Okay. And I will say, for the listeners and the people that really know me, I was not good at math either. So I totally get it. You know, at first I was going to say, maybe I was judging a book by school, but I was like, were you a partier, you know? And that's why the grade quit. It wasn't nothing to do with partying. No.
It's just,
I wasn't sure.
Math ain't it. And then you're throwing in like different kind of elements or equations and letters. And
And how is that? I mean, I guess to some extent I'd be in physical therapy, but I can't, like, if a therapist is stretching me out or working on or recovering an injury or something, I'm not going to ask them to, you know, what's pi times whatever divided by A and B or whatnot. It's just funny how, you know, the curriculum that you have to go through to get to where you wanted to be. So now in, you know, you talked about your professor who suggested social work. What about that conversation, like, really stood out to you that you're like, oh, I'll look into this and I'll apply online while also working a job as well?
Well, she had said that she was in a program for social work, which she ended up changing down the road and is totally different with what she's doing now. But I just remember, like, thinking she grew up in Lebanon County and had gone to LVCOL. So we had similar backgrounds. So if she thought that this was something that I would enjoy after having classes with her, that this would be worth looking into and just kind of seeing what my options really are. And I think it was really during that researching when it was like, oh, as a social worker, you can work at jails, you can work at hospitals, you can work at nursing homes, you can work at schools, you can do therapy, you can work with like probation services, you can work with children and youth. Like, it just was endless. And I think what really stood out to me about that was knowing that laws change, policies change, insurance stuff changes. There are constant changes happening in all in any of these fields. So the fact that I could take this degree and if I didn't like where I was or I didn't like or agree with the things happening there, I could kind of just up and move somewhere else. I loved that. I wasn't going to be stuck anywhere.
Yeah, you're not pigeonholed.
Yes.
A lot of options. Mm-hmm. So you enrolled in, was it the Edinburgh's?
Edinburgh, out of Erie. They are now Penn West Edinburgh. They've kind of merged with a couple of other smaller campuses as well. And I did that completely online while also working full-time. And with my master's, I had to do an internship for the entire school year each year. So two internships on top of all
Holy
that.
Cow.
Yeah.
Now that's a lot. I mean, my goodness, you know, burning the candle at both ends. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned you were working at a retirement home. I'm going to take a guess and I could be off. Would it be Myerstown, Stone Ridge?
Yes, Stone Ridge. Town Center.
Town Center, okay. So now, were you able to, intertwine work and schooling there? Because I imagine they have social workers.
I was working as a social worker at the time. However, the way most internships are built is if you are doing your internship at your place of employment, you can't necessarily be doing it what you're already getting paid for. Not that you can't get paid for your internship, though. So I kind of took That was actually my second year internship. I took it and I did a little bit of a spin on it, and I actually ended up doing more of a clinical focus where I kind of handpicked with administration particular elders or residents that were there at the time who had very interesting stories or behaviors or things kind of going on. And it was kind of to see if I spent more one-on-one time with them, kind of providing a space for them to vent and share their stories and kind of have more of that personalized attention with a little bit more of that clinical focus, would things kind of get better? And in some cases they did.
So throughout your experience, you know, you've worked with nursing home residents. Mm-hmm. You've also worked with at-risk youth.
Yes.
Which are two very completely different, yes. You know, ends of the world, you could say. Mm-hmm. What did those experiences teach you?
That you don't really know anyone's story. Just really heartbreaking to see that this is just down the street from me, and it could have been me if my life would have been just a little bit different.
Sometimes, too, things that maybe you don't take for granted, but you don't think about that others don't have, something is, you know, turning on a light switch, you know, and having electric, how that affects, you know, the family and youth, you know, and they could turn to something like self-harm, or like you said, drugs and such. Mm-hmm. The at-risk youth, what program was that? Or
yeah, I worked with the Youth Advocate Program. Okay. And they are a national company, and each location does a whole lot of different programming. And so the Lebanon one is no exception. There's stuff with intellectual disabilities and gaining job through that. There's family-based stuff there. The programs I primarily worked with were at the time called CRP, Community Reintegration Program. And they called it the Boys Program. Or CTC. I can't remember what it was considered, but it was those boys were not quite at a place where they could or should be sent away to like a juvenile detention center.
Okay.
But they should not have a whole lot of free time on their hands either. I see what you're
saying. Yeah.
And so providing them dinner and getting them to do community service and group therapy and individual therapy. So I kind of primarily worked with the teenagers, both boys and girls, in both of those programs.
Yeah, and you specialize in PTSD, yes. Like we said, suicidality, yes. And self-harm. Mm-hmm. You know, those are some very tough spaces in therapy and tough conversations. So what, I guess, do you, like, what motivates you to, you know, face these things that a lot of people would maybe shy away from or not talk about, you know?
Right. So what I've learned as a therapist early on is people will call in and say, oh, I need therapy because I'm anxious, I'm depressed, I'm whatever. And those things are true. And you don't always get the full picture, and they're not always forthcoming for various reasons, shame being one of them. Mm. So the reason I ended up getting into those things is because they landed on my caseload. And I've had this person in front of me, maybe I've had them for a couple of months or whatever, and I've learned that they are having these thoughts or these issues or these symptoms or these behaviors. What am I going to do? I can't just like, oh, well, you know, you need to find a new therapist, and that's not who I am. Yeah. So this was a learning experience. So I had to go figure out, well, how do I treat this? How do I help them? And that's actually how I ended up getting specialized in those areas, because they just landed on my caseload.
Mm-hmm. And you couldn't turn them away. You're not that kind of person.
No.
But, yeah.
And it's not unheard of for therapy to have wait lists, depending on where you go. Okay. And that's very insurance-based as well, too.
Yeah.
So I have somebody who maybe has suicidal thoughts or is cutting themselves or what have you. And what am I going to do? Send them to a therapist and wait for 3 months to 3 years?
Oh, you can. No. Yeah. In that time, a lot can happen.
Exactly.
A lot can change. So was there a moment that this all clicked for you and you realized, like, this is my passion? This is what I was put here to do, maybe?
When I got good at it. When I was like, hey, like, vulnerability, I think, is a big thing too as a therapist. When I'm working with someone who has maybe some new symptoms I'm not used to, or even when I started doing the EMDR stuff, like, hey, I'm new at this. We're going to like test it out together and see what works for you. And when I started noticing improvements, primarily, especially with my teenagers, because at the time I had seen a lot of teenagers, both outpatient and with the at-risk youth at YAP. And so seeing improvement in those behaviors and like, wow, like, I am helping. Like, look, I did this. Making like, a difference. We did this together. Yeah. We got
making
here.
Making an impact on others. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now, being a licensed clinical social worker, like I said, this is new to me. Is there like a company? Because I see on your shirt you have Move Forward Counseling.
Yes. Yeah. So, right, everything happens for a reason, right?
Yo, definitely. Yes.
So I primarily a lot of my experience was at long term care. COVID happened, and it is what it is, and it was what it was, but it drove a lot of nurses away from the fields, even after we were allowed to open our doors to visitors and families again. So I was still doing a lot of like nursing care related stuff as a social worker. And it got to a point that I was burned out and worried about like liability issues.
Yeah.
So I was going through my supervision needed to get my C, as they call it, for the LCSW with Dr. Gosh. And she had her own practice as a one-woman show. And I just knew in my gut, like, I need to make a leap. And I think this is where I need to go. So I said, hey, can I come work for you? And she was like, oh, I want to say yes, but let me talk to my husband first.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That's great.
So
yeah.
They agreed, and they purchased a building, and that's kind of how I got started in outpatient therapy. And I had been with her for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And she had just another job as well, a full-time job. The business was kind of one of her side jobs. And so she had kind of been applying to other things for benefits and stuff for the family, which I totally get. And she got a once in a lifetime opportunity to work for the federal government with an office out of the Pentagon.
Whoa. Oh, big time.
Yeah. Which meant she couldn't do the business because she wouldn't have the time.
Right, right.
And so what did that mean?
You.
Yeah.
Johnny on the spot, ready to go. Right? You're there. You're trained for this. You're prepared for this.
I don't know how to run a business.
Never ran a business, though. Ooh,
exactly.
True. Yeah.
So with her connection, she had gotten connected to Allison Pigeon at Move Forward Counseling, who kind of took me and the clients and whatever and made us as Move Forward Counseling under her umbrella. So we are a very large private practice. We have, I believe it's 6 locations across the state of Pennsylvania.
Whoa.
With 2 completely telehealth teams, over 60 therapists that treat Pennsylvania residents.
Okay, I never knew that.
Yes.
Move Forward Counseling. I love that name too.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's beautiful.
And you mentioned at least 2 or 3 times now, everything happens for a reason.
It does, right? So now here I am as an outpatient therapist at Move Forward Counseling with benefits, which a small practice usually can't provide.
Right.
I am also the Lebanon team supervisor at our Lebanon location. And one of the other hats I wear is I am the internship coordinator. So any interns that we accept, kind of giving back to our profession, hopefully training and new employees, hopefully, right?
Right. Yeah.
I kind of help manage and give them spots in our offices that have opportunities and space for them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you're, the way, like I mentioned, your personality being so bubbly, it's a great fit.
It is. Yeah, I love
everything happens for a reason.
Right. And so had COVID not happened, I wouldn't have made the jump to be a therapist full time. Had Dr. Gosh not gotten this job with the Air Force, I wouldn't be at Move Forward Counseling with these other opportunities.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Crazy, crazy, crazy journey. Yeah. Okay, let's take a quick snack break. This snack break is brought to you by Jerky Beef Jerky. When late night editing episodes for the podcast, Jerky Beef Jerky keeps me fueled and ready to go with 11 grams of protein, high quality ingredients, and no nitrates or nitrites. With 5 different flavors to choose from, Jerky Beef Jerky, eat meat, repeat. As my grandfather says, he's 87, and he always says, Austin, you know, life's like a roller coaster. There's going to be highs and lows, and you just want to ride the ride and just don't get too happy and don't get too sad. You know, you just got to kind of ride the ride. And, you know, I think that's very true in anything in
life.
Absolutely. You
know? It's still forward motion.
Exactly. Moving forward. Mm-hmm. Counseling. I love it. So now, So one of the things I imagine you do at Move Forward Counseling is this EMDR therapy, which Allie at SARC, she was on the podcast in an earlier episode, had mentioned it. But for the listeners and for myself, remind me, like, what is it? And maybe go a little bit more in depth on how it helps with trauma.
Absolutely. So don't hesitate to, like, stop me because I totally, like, geek out on this. It is, like,
three
my
hours
jam,
later. No, I'm just right? kidding. I'm just kidding. No, no.
It really might yeah. be. So EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. It is a younger therapy modality. However, it is arguably one of the most evidence-based. It is kind of the gold standard, actually, for trauma in general. So Dr. Francine Shapiro is the one who kind of, as legend goes, accidentally discovered it. Okay. She was walking the park as like a doctoral intern, I think it was, or research assistant, had some upsetting news, happened to see in the park a volleyball game, sits and watches it and watches the ball go back and forth over the net, and noticed that she wasn't feeling as upset as she had been earlier. And she goes, what does this mean? Let's play around with it. And EMDR is born. So what it does is it really is about bilateral stimulation, not necessarily just eye movements. So bilateral is doing one thing to one side of your body and then to the other, back and forth in a pretty steady rhythmic pattern. So EMDR is because it was based off of eye movements initially. So you'll be looking maybe more to your right and then straight across to the left and back and forth for roughly 30-ish seconds. And then it stops. And I ask my client, take a deep breath. What came up? They tell me last thing, rinse and repeat for the rest of their hour session. But the reason why it works is because when we're focusing on one particular tragic memory that we're working on that day, by letting the eyes go back and forth, there's almost like this mild dissociation where you kind of just space out and you're letting the event play and the emotions play in your body and where you feel and all those things. But then I'm interrupting you every 30 seconds. Wait, what happened? Where yeah. are we at now? And so you never really get re-lost and re-traumatized.
Okay.
And so by being interrupted, you have a dual awareness from the past and the present. And a lot of our stuff from our traumas are in the past. We don't necessarily anticipate traumas a whole lot. And so when they happen with our understanding of the world at that time. And oftentimes that's in our childhood when we don't really understand the world.
Yeah.
So by me interrupting you and asking you where are we at, you get to bring in your present day logic and apply it to that past issue. So if somebody's getting bullied, for example, you think, oh, well, it's because I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm whatever. But your present day self is like, oh, no, I remember hearing later that they didn't have a good home life. So it wasn't really me.
Yeah.
And now I'm neutralizing and not getting so upset about that memory anymore. And it eventually becomes like, oh, yeah, that happened. Next. Instead of like, oh, my gosh, yes, and this and that and how upsetting and da, 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has just really been life-changing for clients.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, during this session, right, is there a certain thing? Because you mentioned like the eye movement from left to right. Do you hold up like an image card or is it like a light or follow the tip of the pen or something like that? Like,
so a little bit of any or all depends on what your therapist prefers to do and also the client. So I, having played softball, have had a history of shoulder injuries. So normally you are using two fingers kind of going back and forth and they're watching your fingers, but that just kind of further strains my rotator cuff, especially when I have, you know, maybe 10 clients a week that I'm doing this with. That's 10 hours. That's a lot. So I did had upgraded to a telescoping like teacher's pointer and that worked for a while, but at Move Forward, they've been very generous to supply me with what's called a light bar. So it's kind of like one of those light bars that you would like put in the corner of your room and you can make it all kinds of different colors.
Yeah.
Except I kind of turn it sideways and they're just following the light across that bar.
Okay.
Others, though, for various reasons, maybe can't tolerate the eye movement part. So we'll do tactile stimulation where they'll have what they call tappers and they're almost like little buzzers in their hands and it'll buzz in one and then the other. My clients will tap on their collarbones or on their legs, one or another, and I just kind of monitor the pace. Or for kiddos who maybe can't really sit still, you have them jump on one foot and then the other, or look at this dinosaur and then this dinosaur, or whatever.
So there's multiple ways to go about it. And the main thing, like you said, is interrupting every 30 seconds and then getting them to think kind of critically about, you know, what had happened and analyzing it and realizing that it probably wasn't them, you know, it was, what was the, like you said, the bullying, you know, it was, what's that child going through? And then they're just portraying that onto you, I guess is the way to put it. So, you know, some of the results of EMDR, Do you care to share a story that might have stood out?
So my very, very first client, I had been just starting my EMDR training, and I had said to him, I said, I think you'd be a good candidate. I'm learning how to do this. And his jaw dropped. He goes, I've been looking for someone to do this. I didn't even know you were getting trained in this, because we had been together, working together a while. He's like, we're doing it. We're absolutely doing it. I was like, whoa, like, slow down a little bit. I don't think I'm at a point to do this, like, fully with you yet, but yeah. I am almost there. I just need like this next week or two or whatever training, and then we can get like jump, like dip our toes in it, right? He's like, no, we're starting right now. Okay, fine, whatever. And this gentleman, very kind man, had come to me because his son had died by suicide, and he was working from home. So he heard the gunshot his son. Never mind you, a whole childhood abuse history, had been a veteran, the whole like kind of kit and caboodle. Mm-hmm. And so thinking about how this could have helped him as I'm learning this training was really, really important for me. And so being able to provide this to him was really important. And so for him to be so excited to do that was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And he's not the only one. So he presented to me with PTSD after EMDR. We no longer had qualified for PTSD diagnosis. And he's not the only one. I've had a lot of people come to me with various situations where they are coming to me presenting PTSD symptoms, or now there's complex PTSD from childhood abuse and loved ones who have died very tragically. And by the end of their EMDR, most of my clients no longer qualify for that PTSD diagnosis. And so he sticks out in my head just because, he's the first, right? First right. always does.
Yes.
But then his enthusiasm and his ability to push me to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
He put his trust in you. You
know? He did.
Yeah. So what are some common misconceptions? Because you mentioned PTSD mm-hmm. and around trauma, mm-hmm. you know, what are things that people often get wrong?
Well, the biggest one I think for me is that people think PTSD is forever and always. And for some people, it absolutely might be. But I think thankfully, because of therapy and medications and all kinds of mental health resources, it doesn't have to be anymore. So the fact that we are at best making the symptoms not as frequent or intense is really important, but then also, or like being able to have people who are no longer meeting that criteria. And I think with suicidality, the one of the biggest misconceptions is like, well, I can't ask them if they're having these thoughts, because then they will. If they're having the thoughts, they're having it whether you ask them or not. That's the long and the short of that. And if you don't ask them and something happens, how awful would you feel being like, well, I thought, I was suspicious, well, maybe not.
Yeah.
And being able to get that help. And I think one of the biggest things, especially with suicidality and even self-harm, is this idea that if I tell my therapist or some professional, they're going to send me inpatient. And my biggest thing as a therapist is I will do everything in my power to prevent that, because that's actually possibly going to traumatize you.
So what is, inpatient, mm-hmm. what is that?
So inpatient is when people are having very severe mental health symptoms and episodes where they may not be able to keep themselves or other people safe. And so they live there, like they get admitted to the hospital essentially for mental health care. And it can be anywhere for a couple of days to a couple of weeks, depending on what happens from there. And my job as an outpatient counselor is I typically see people at most 1 hour a week. Mm-hmm. And so when people are having these thoughts, I don't want to send them away. They have jobs, they have families, they have kids, what have you. And what does that mean? And getting the resources set up for that. And I have no problem sending people there if that is where they need to be. Mm-hmm. But I will do everything in my power to help you utilize your current resources to keep you safe at home. And that is the part that I think is really important.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, because, right, if they need that help or that care mm-hmm. or someone to look after them, mm-hmm. You kind of have to make sure, but at the same time, then yeah, you have to consider, okay, if they have a family or like mm-hmm. you said, a full-time job
yes.
to take them away from that, is that going to make the situation worse?
Right.
That's kind of a fine line to walk there, you know?
It is. And especially when there's financial considerations. Mm-hmm. So we can do disability, we can do FMLA, we can do vacation time. But if we don't have those things or don't qualify for those things and you're not getting paid for your time to be there, what stressors are going to be for you on the other side?
Yeah. So talking about these very intense, you know, how do you keep your own mental health in check, and how do you, you know, deal with these emotionally intense, you know, situations?
Right.
Yeah.
So I am no stranger to therapy myself. Many therapists also go to therapy because we have our own things. It is very common for therapists to enter therapy and become therapists because they understand. They've been through things. They get it. Also, self-care is a very, very important thing. I've kind of found some four basic tenets that if I'm doing these things, then I'm doing well. It is getting sunshine. It is nature-based things. It is time with my family and loved ones. And it is creativity and learning. So that can go anywhere from like video games to like taking classes to going to travel the world to just going out to my back door, which is really important because having accessible tools that I'm not having to go to France, right, to like recharge my batteries. Like, who can do that all the time? But being able to make it accessible and adaptable to any kind of situations then allows me to make sure I'm doing well to be able to help my clients.
So if someone is feeling lost or hopeless right now, what would you want them to hear?
It gets better and there is help. Better may not be necessarily what you think it's going to look like either. That's a big conversation I have with a lot of my clients. They're like, oh, I'm better and I'm doing all this work, but my life is not what I thought it would be at this point with being better. And that's also okay too. Like, we don't know where life is going to take us. We don't know the journeys it's going to take us on. We don't know what the next minute, day, week has for us. And that might be the thing that you've been looking forward to as well and didn't even know it was an option.
Yeah. I like that. So looking back, how do you think the setbacks and losses that, that you faced has shaped you as a licensed clinical social worker?
Understanding resources is a big one. And being able to understand the pain, even if I haven't been in that situation as my client is currently going through or has been through. So being able to relate to some degree, being able to pull on to those experiences from my life has been really important. And especially for like the middle school, high school, young adults, so many of them have this pressure of like, I need to figure out what I'm doing with my life and I'm not doing well in school. And what does that mean? And I'm like, I'm a walking story of like, you don't necessarily have to do well in school and you can do great in school and still not end up where you thought you were going to be. And that's not a bad thing either.
Yeah. Enjoy the journey. Absolutely. Know? And I 100% agree, you know, being a therapist or if you're a counselor, like to be able to relate in that way, because you've gone through something, it puts you in their shoes, I think, more so, and you could better connect. And, you know, for all the, you know, younger listeners out there, you don't know what the future holds. So don't stress, you know, don't stress about it. Like I remember in high school, you know, everybody wanted to fit in, you know, everybody had their cliques and their groups and stuff. And, you know, what shoes are you wearing? It's like, looking back, it's crazy because we were just talking off air, you know, I'll be 34 this October. And it's like, that stuff doesn't mean anything now, you know, like I'm just thinking like the tests I used to freak out about, you know, or stress about. And sure, don't get me wrong, in the moment it's very important, but in the grand scheme of things, life's gonna go on, you know. You're gonna graduate, whether it's high school or college, you know, obviously get good grades that helps you graduate. Absolutely. But you know, at the end of the day, it's like
that one point doesn't matter.
Don't stress
that
about
A versus
you know?
That B plus does not matter,
right? Whether you're wearing, you know, it doesn't matter if you're not wearing the coolest shoes or the coolest outfit or you're not in with the cool kids, you know, life goes on. And sometimes, like, I feel like some kids are, they're the cool kids in school. Right. But then when you get out of school, they're just like everybody else, you know? And in school, you're like, oh, look, you're really cool. And then it's like, oh, no, you're just like me, you know?
Right.
We're all the same.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. We all have our own, I mentioned this a lot of times too, we all have our own demons, our own things that we face, you know, whether it be a divorce. And I mentioned this, you know, I my mom and dad got divorced when I was very young and, you know, very young. I mean, like first, second grade even. And, you know, they kind of did like, I want to say a co-parenting, or they got along right. enough that, you know, it worked out. But, you know, everybody's facing stuff and mm-hmm. just, I feel like sometimes having someone to talk to
absolutely
is huge, you know? Speaking of talking to people, yes. how can our listeners connect with you on the interwebs?
Yes. So Move Forward Counseling, if you Google them, it is likely going to bring you up to our webpage as well, if not even the closest location to you. Our number that you can call is 717-462-7003. I absolutely have that memorized because I cannot tell you how many times I say that to people.
Yeah.
So we have outpatient therapists. That is what we do. So we don't have any psychiatrists or medication management, which I think is an important part. We do accept a large amount of insurances. And interestingly enough, we also are an EAP provider. So businesses can reach out and contract with us. So that way, if their employees need to have some free therapy sessions, most companies will give about 3 therapy sessions on the company's dime. We can contract with that company be able to provide that, which I think is really, really cool. We offer all kinds of modalities, so cognitive behavioral therapy, acceptance commitment, DBT, EMDR, it never ends. We do have self-pay options actually with our interns. They are a lower cost self-pay for those who are financially struggling or don't have great insurance. We do bariatric surgery evaluations. We also provide a group up in Lehigh Valley out of there called the Empower Her Support Group for Women. It's an in-person group there. And we are working with a nonprofit out of our York location for a suicide loss survivor group. So anyone who has been affected by suicide is welcome to then attend that as well. We are big in the community. We meet with legislators and advocate for different bills like the LAPC. We primarily had started out of Lancaster, so we work with Touchstone as a nonprofit out of there, as well as Mental Health of America, Girls on the Run. We do all kinds of community work, which I think is what's really important about Move Forward, because mm-hmm. While we are a large private practice and we do make a profit, we are very much about being involved in the communities that we are serving and giving back to people.
And that's excellent, because, you know, if you're living in the communities, working in those communities,
absolutely.
You know, what better way than getting out and being a part of those communities? Absolutely. So Move Forward Counseling, what is the nearest location here to Lebanon County?
So it is in Jonestown off of 72 on Mountville Drive.
Okay.
It is near the Bunker Hill Church. If you hit Frogs Hollow, you've gone too far. It is right where that split of 72 and Mountville Drive is.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. No, excellent. So before we close out, is there anything else that I might not have known about that you wanted to talk about?
So what's really cool about Move Forward that I really love as an employee here is that they are APA and NBCC approved educators. So what not a lot of people maybe realize is those of us who carry therapy license and social work licenses, we have to take about 30 credits or so every 2 years to maintain our license to be in good standing. So we are up with the newest things, whatever they be. And so the fact that as an employee, Move Forward brings them to us at no cost to make sure that they're helping us maintain our license so we can then invest back in the community by and to our company by seeing other clients with new modalities, I think is really, really cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing, because again, it's benefiting the company, but also the community and the employees. And if the employees are happy and they're seeing the benefits or the rewards of that, then, you know, again, they might then work harder or care more. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, you're more invested.
Absolutely. You know? The philosophy has always kind of been, if we can take care of the therapists and the employees, they will take care of our clients.
Awesome. Well, Brandy, I'm gonna wrap it up.
Thank you.
Yes, yeah. So Brandy Whitman, licensed clinical social worker, thank you so much for sharing your story, your heart, and your work with us. Your path reminds us that healing isn't linear, and sometimes purpose finds us when we least expect it.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.